Welcome back to another episode of the Bleacher Boys, a season series recap episode. First one of the season. Go Yanks, baby. First series is complete. The Yankees win the series by a score of 2-1. 1, 2, and 3. Good games all around. Monday morning. How we doing, Isaac?
Well, as you guys might have heard in the player of the game picks, my voice is gone. I've been screaming all weekend. UAlbany Club Baseball goes 1-1 over the weekend. Got rained out on Saturday, so we played 2 Sunday. I'm pretty good. I honestly am, like, reinvigorated with these two wins from the Yankees, but we'll get into that later. I'm feeling great. Very busy week, so got to get down to the grind.
How'd you personally do on the baseball field?
Dude, I can't buy a hit. I couldn't hit water out of a boat. I lined out to left field on, like, probably the hardest hit ball I've ever hit. Lined right to him. And then I hit a curveball on 0-2, right to the shortstop, just like a one hopper to the shortstop. Picks me, of course, that. So I'm like, I literally cannot buy a hit. Doesn't matter how hard I hit the ball. I barrel it, doesn't matter. So a little frustrated, but.
You feel good at the plate, though, so.
Oh, no, I'm seeing the ball great. I'm just, like, I'm getting, like, very unlucky, like I never have before in my UAlbany baseball career, so.
You're good around. Where'd you play? Second?
Yeah, I played second. Yep. Made all my plays. I threw one cutoff throw to third, and it was raining. It was raining in Massachusetts, and there was a triple a guy hit, and I threw it over the third baseman's head. But in my defense, though, no pitcher was covering third on that. And also, the ball was literally soaking wet because it went into the pool of water that was in foul territory. So, like, I didn't even know if I should have thrown it. But then, anyway, he ended up scoring. He got a home run on that because I threw it over third base.
Okay.
But
your throwing is still.
I mean, that's why I'm a second baseman, though, right?
Yeah. You shouldn't have to throw to third. You know, that's kind of on the coach.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. Cutoff should be short to third.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of talking about this because a little preview of an episode or content coming to you from Bleacher Boys. Isaac recorded his vlog on his trip to, I don't know where you went. Where was that? Was that also Boston?
That's northeastern Boston.
Yep. Okay, yeah. So I have to edit that real quick, and we'll get that out to you guys. It seems like an interesting vlog. I don't want to give too much away, so be on the lookout for that. Back to the Yankees. Opening day was Thursday, or supposed to be Thursday. Rained out Friday. Cole against Eovaldi. Much anticipated game. Felt really good to be watching baseball again. You want to just get into it? Cole was kind of mad that the 4-minute the delay because of Billy Crystal's national anthem or whatever, or first pitch.
Yeah. Honestly, this is so stupid. Like I don't know why that bothers him so much. Like,
there's been, like, so many been, like, little cases where, like, he just acts like a baby. Like, he's kind of.
Yeah, I don't know what he's trying to act like. Like, just go out there and do your job. Like, I don't understand why he's. And then to bring it up in the post game was kind of weak, too. Like, no, dude, well, you got shelled.
To be,
like,
fair, he was asked.
No, I know. But he could have just been like, that's nothing to do with it. Like, next question. Like, he could, you know what I mean? He could have just said that. But he was like, yeah, I was a little frustrated.
Unforeseen challenge, he called it.
Yeah. I'm not like worried about Cole yet. Like worried about him. But, like, the last memory a lot of Yankee fans have of him is shitting the bed in Fenway. And then I was really hoping he would, like, you know, shove for 4 innings to, like, really wipe that memory away. But you still have a lot of Yankee fans and baseball fans saying, oh, wow, you know, Cole can't pitch against the Red Sox. Cole can't this. Cole can't that. Like, and Cole's fastball is so hittable. Like, I've been hearing that in my UAlbany club baseball group chat, like, all day when that was happening. Like, oh, his fastball is so hittable, blah, 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 blah. His slider is nothing. Like, just. So, yeah, I'm a little worried about Cole, to be honest with you.
I mean, he just made one mistake, and after that, he kind of settled in fine. He racked up the strikeouts.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was going to say is that mistake to Devers wasn't even really a mistake. I mean, that pitch was here. It was 99 at his chin, and he turned on it. So you got to give Devers props there. But I just feel like, and I know this is, like, the typical Yankee thing to say, but But I feel like if we're paying someone $34 million to start, we should not get performances like that on opening day. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, it was disappointing. I mean, what did he go? 4-3, 4, something like that.
Yeah, and to be fair, like most pitchers, after having an inning like that, they fall apart. In his defense, he went out there and got us some innings, which is what you need your ace to do, is to, you know, brush it under and go and shove. So, like, I'm really happy that he did that. But, yeah, that kind of sucked. I'm not going to lie. And boy, that second – that first time through the Yankees order, that was so important.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Not only
for, like, the game, but for the season. Anthony Rizzo's home run, huge. Absolutely huge. For series, for the rest of the season. It sets the tone really, really well. So,
yeah, I agree. I mean, if that doesn't happen, we're, like, sitting there talking, thinking about how Cole's getting shelled by the Red Sox again, this and that. Rizzo, that two-run home run is so massive. It really changed the mood of the team. and then the bullpen's lights out after Cole. I mean, that was kind of crazy. I liked how Boone was really trying to win the game here. He went to Green after Cole, Holmes. Miguel Castro comes in with the first and second, I think. He walks the first guy but gets his guy. Loaiza after him, Peralta, and then Chappie, and then to King. So he really emptied the bullpen here with all our good guys, and they were lights out. What did they throw? 7 innings of one-run baseball. I mean, they did their job.
And that's such a like a refreshing thing to see from last year, where, like, like, we would be saving pitchers last year or going to, like, some guy that's just, like, not, like, you know, we would be going to some no-name guy down by one run last year. And I think that's a whole, like, organizational shift from, like, that saving everyone for next game instead of worrying about this game here in the present. And that's another thing that got me so, so excited, was seeing the kind of different mentality the Yankees had.
And even yesterday's Sunday's game, they threw Loaiza in the 7th or 8th with down one. And I love to see that. Gives yourself a chance to win instead of going to, I don't know, Ronnie Marinaccio, J.P. Sears. Donaldson walks it off in the 11th in the first game. We got a nice reaction video out of Isaac from that one. So did you know that was coming? Like, did you feel it coming?
So I was recording each at bat just to see a gauge. But, like, what do you know what the count was when he hit that? Because
I think it was
specifically recorded
1-1
pitches, like
1-1. I think it was 1-1. Yeah.
So, and who was pitching again? It was Cutter Crawford, right?
Yeah, it was Crawford. Yeah.
And I don't know. I just had a feeling Josh Donaldson was gonna get it done, so I turned on the camera. But yeah, I'm really happy for him. I think that's a great start. Great start for him as a Yankee career. You know, unlike some other guys, like we still have Rizzo. I'm not Rizzo. Gallo kind of struggling, and it looks like he's really nervous. And I was shocked at some of the defense. For IKF.
IKF and Bo Gallo too. Defense was, I don't know what was going on.
And the whole explanation for the offseason was like, okay, we're putting a defensive first shortstop in the interim before our prospects come up. Okay, that's great. Then he has to make all the plays. Like, some of those, I was actually holding my breath on some of the ground balls to short, which is unbelievable considering that was the same reaction I was having last year with Glaber. Like, we cannot seriously be doing this where I'm surprised if he makes the routine play. That cannot
and
happen.
That's the glove is the reason why DJ was on the bench Sunday and Glaber's on the bench, what was it, Saturday? Like, that can't, or opening day. Like, that glove is supposed to be the sure thing in the infield, and I know he's gonna turn it around. Like, I have full trust in IKF to be fine at short.
Yeah,
it was just surprising to see, kind of, because that was supposed to be your safety blanket.
And some of the Gallo plays too, I was just shocked at. Like,
I sent you that video of Guardy's, like, thing, and even after that, he made one, like, boneheaded. Like, he goes way too close to the wall, and then the ball bounces right behind. Like, there are some interesting plays out there, definitely.
Yeah, and the he got a really late jump on the ball that he dove for. I don't know if it was game two or what it was.
He, like, froze up and then
such a I've never seen, like, Guardy ever do that. Like and I don't think there's, like, sun or anything you really, like, an excuse for that. Like, I don't know what he was doing. But
yeah, game two we win. pretty comfortably. I actually wasn't able to watch this game for long periods of time. Do you have any takeaways from game two? That was the Rizzo home run again, and then Stanton 2-run home run.
So we were watching this game like right after it started, like right before we got back to the hotel and were able to turn it on. What were some takeaways from that game? Oh yeah, the Stanton home run was big.
Seve.
Seve. Okay, yeah. So watching Seve, I thought that his breaking ball is at the same level that it's, I think, ever been since like 2017. The thing where he ran into trouble was, I think, like fastball command. I remember him like really like struggling early with his fastball command, but again, like that's
which
expected.
Is fair. Like he's hasn't started in 2 years and is his first start.
Exactly. And I was kind of impressed with his velo too. He was sitting 97, 98, and he was touching 99, 100 a couple times. Yep, exactly.
That changeup is like, gross that was too.
Like a, yo, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
so I was like a really promising sign I saw from Seve. I forgot exactly how they tied up the game, but I remember Stanton hitting the home run on the curveball inside.
It was
why the Red Sox left in Pivetta the third time through the order.
He looked like, gassed after the fourth and fifth. He barely got out of those. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why either.
He was at like 80 pitches, and they left, and he was doing nothing but throwing curveballs because the Yankees had been beating his fastball all day.
Cora, it was like, so scared to go to the bullpen all series long. Like, he doesn't trust any of those guys back there.
Which is, I mean,
rotation either.
Yeah, so if we're going back to what Ollie was saying about, how the Red Sox pitching is fine, like, I mean, man, if that's not a show for how bad the Red Sox pitching is, then I don't know what is.
I mean, yesterday they kind of looked all right. Diekman was gross. I thought Judge could get something going in the ninth. He had like a 10 or 11 pitch at bat, but it is what it is. Game three, Monty gets hit in the knee or behind the knee in the first inning. That was a really scary moment. I know my boy Isaac. How are you feeling? Like, let me know what was going through your mind when that was happening.
Okay. I mean, immediate thought process. When I heard him scream on the TV, I was like, oh my God, that might be end of the season for him. Just the way he screamed. And then seeing where it hit him is just going to be like a nasty bone bruise, and he might like miss a start or two. But in the moment, I was terrified because I thought his pitches looked great. He was spotting like 95.
Yeah.
He was spotting 95 out to hitters and they were swinging on top of it. And then he had the changeup low and in. I thought he looked gross. And then he let up, I think it was one walk where he kind of got screwed by the ump on some of the calls.
He also let up like a jam shot first inning hit to.
So, I mean, if this is not the story of Jordan Montgomery's career with the Yankees, it's like he looks great and then something unfortunate happens or the Yankees don't score for him and he ends up like looking bad after. Like, he ended up with a 6 ERA and I don't think he deserved any of that. I think after the knee thing, he was kind of down bad, for lack of a better term, and he, you know, because then he's maybe favoring it a little bit. And then he started giving up hits because now he's like 30 pitches in the inning. So, like, of course, any pitcher is going to start giving up hits after that. But I was really, really sad for him because I thought that his stuff looked great. And he was, you know, I was really excited for him this season, but I still am. I hope that he's okay. I think Boone said he was fine in the presser. But really sad for my fantasy that he got a 6 ERA for that. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, 3 innings, too. So, like, I think the storyline here is that the starting pitchers only went 4-3-3, which is kind of expected at this point of the season and with a shortened spring training. Not too worried about that. And our bullpen guys look great. But Monty, yeah, I mean, I really thought that was something. Like, do you think they should have left him in? Like, I was kind of on the side of bringing Clark in.
So, I would have had him going one more because I thought that his stuff still looked fine, but I mean, again, beginning of the season, short spring training, I could see why they would want to, you know, pull him, give him a break. Because the thing is, players get injured when they have really stressful innings. And so he had one really stressful inning followed by a relatively quick one. I was like, okay, you know, maybe they could give him one more. But I have no problem with Clark coming in if he's going to pitch like that. thought Clark looked great.
He looked really good, yeah. He's sharp. Nothing, like, do you think Boone managed this series pretty well? I feel like there wasn't anything that stood out to me that was like, come on, Boone. But I think he, the pinch hitting stuff, pinch running Marwin Gonzalez, what do you think about that?
I mean, that's just really funny because, like, for obvious reasons, like, the three-man bench thing is like, okay, you guys were planning on, like, you know, you're going to use all these pitchers, that's great, but you empty your bench in the first game and you have Marwin Gonzalez as the tying run on, like
that could have been Tim LaCastro.
They realize they're, yeah, like, you realize you guys just look bad now, right? Like,
but,
I mean,
their argument would be that they literally spent every single arm in that bullpen.
I mean, they didn't have to. I thought they could have given some guys a couple more innings. Like, they everyone got, like, 20 pitches, I think. I thought Castro could have got a clean inning, too, after he got out that batter. So then that's the case. You push everyone back a little bit. But I felt like the management of the bullpen was good. The bullpen, obviously, was nasty. So
I might have pinch hit Torres a little earlier for IKF. But that moment wasn't bad. He comes through with a sac fly. Good at bat by Torres.
Yeah.
I really. What do you think about the lineup? Like, do you like Donaldson there, and do you like DJ and Glaber sitting one of the days? Like, I feel like those two bats have to be.
I think DJ has to be in the lineup. I think, I mean, if let's think about it this way: if Gallo's gonna play defense like that, It doesn't matter. Stanton can be there. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. So if he's going to play
but
like
Gallo's
shit defensively.
I think it's.
But I'm saying, okay, if Gallo's going to play like shit defensively, you may as well go Stanton in the outfield, DH Donaldson on some days. And then you have. I actually love DJ and Glaber.
Okay, I see your argument. Yeah. So you're saying bench Hicks and put Judge in center and Gallo in right.
I mean, to be honest with you, Hicks, he did have a nice hit. But, man, he had two opportunities to get sac flies, and he popped up and struck out. And it's just like...
And there was a ground double play there in there, too, in the first or second.
Yeah, game. And he hit a double play.
I don't know, man. So, I saw a lot of Hicks slander on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah. My whole group chat was saying how much they hate Hicks. Like,
yeah, there's... like I mean, I saw a couple Gardner over Hicks tweets last night. So, I mean, I'm all aboard Hicks train, but... It was a rough series. It's the first three games, though, guys. Like, let's give him a little leash.
And that's the thing I hate about Yankee fans. As much as I am one of those people too, it's the fact that they have no patience for players at all. And I understand, like, it's not just because these three games. It's going back to like a year and a half now of him being injured and batting under 200, which is obviously unacceptable for a starting center fielder. But the Yankees have the argument that, oh, he's a big OPS guy. He gets on base, does this, does that. And when he's not getting on base and not producing, like, why is he here? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I kind of get that. Like, situational hitting is one of the biggest things Yankees struggle with. And you saw it in game three. We had 20 guys on base or something like that. And we scored 3 runs. And that cannot happen. And listen, you know, Hicks left like 4 guys on just himself. And you know, you didn't see IKF, you know, I think he got the job done a couple times, or he at least put one in the gap.
He did. That was nice to see because you know, IKF was pressing that hard first game, first series in the Bronx.
Judge had a really great at bat, game three. And I think the Yankees would have gotten to Diekman if Judge had gotten on. Stanton's at bat was just non-competitive. So was Gallo's. I actually was really, speaking of competitive at bats, I was really liking IKF's at bats. Even though he did strike out, he looked really locked in. He was contact fouling pitches away, and I'm actually really starting to like his bat, which I know is kind of questionable, but like I actually like his swing, and I like how he shortens up, and he just looks like that like traditional like baseball player, like everything they teach you in like Little League. He does the right things, like, and I kind of respect that compared to some of the other.
It's definitely nice to have at the bottom of the lineup. I mean, if he can just, you know, consistently play like really good defense and then hit at the bottom of the lineup, 270 average, just singles, get on base for the top of the lineup, I think he could be very valuable to this team. But I also did see a couple tweets, more than a couple tweets about about bringing up Peraza now, and that's just Yankee fans 101 for you. But give IKF a little bit of a run. I think we'll be fine. I really can't remember what I was about to say. So. Oh, okay. You know what? Let's talk about this. Judge in center field looked kind of smooth. Like, he was gliding out there. What do you think about Judge playing center field more often? We kind of talked about this earlier, but
I mean,
just defense-wise.
I don't want to be a dick to Aaron Hicks, but like, if he's going to look that good out there, why is Hicks in the lineup at all? Like, for his switch hitting? No. No one cares. You got to make contact with the ball. You know, it comes down at the end of the day to results. And as good as he says he's locked in or how he's coming for this season, if he's not producing results, then he shouldn't be on the field, period.
Another question. How many games, weeks, months would you give Hicks until like he's like a bench player? Like, how much are you trying this out?
I mean, to be fair to him, he is coming off of not playing for a long time in the MLB. So I think you give him like the good first month of the season, you give him the starting job center field, which I think they're going to do anyway. And if he's still not really producing and, you know, not really getting the job done at the plate, then I say you move Judge to center, you call up LeCastro, and you have Stanton playing right, Judge center, Gallo left, and mixed in the DH with Josh Donaldson, which creates more playing time. And then you have Hicks and LeCastro and Marwin Gonzalez on the bench. Send down JP Sears.
All right, yeah, I like that. And then you keep your backup catcher, four-man bench. I think that's what it goes back to because in what, May 1st, I think, is what the deadline is. The roster's moved back to 26-man. A couple guys. It's going to be the pitchers, Clark and JP probably, or Ron Marnaccio. He looked good, though. He was kind of shaky when he entered, but Rizzo went in there to calm him down a little bit. He looked good.
Question for you. Do you... Like, obviously, your expectation going to this year was so high because you're, like, a really positive fan. Would you say your perspective has changed at all from this last series? Or what are your thoughts, like, after the last series about this
I think my expectation was, like, validated by this series. Like, I was obviously setting my bar up here, but it was kind of, like, hope. I don't know. It was kind of a leap too. Like I knew it wasn't gonna be too realistic to expect them to win what 95 games. I think I expected, but this weekend kind of made that realistic.
Yeah,
like,
whatever
I was
you
like,
said.
Oh damn! Like this team could actually, like they have a different vibe from 2020 and 2021. Like they're trying to win every game. They have like the urgency that we've been asking for.
Agree.
And so I've felt kind of validated with my expectations. Like, I'm not, like, too... I'm not going over now, but I'm like, okay, this team can actually do it.
Yeah.
What about you?
And I actually think the real test is... Yeah.
Can you hear me? I got you.
You got me? Okay. I think the real test is gonna start today with the Blue Jays, because... You know, the Red Sox are a team that they're kind of like a one-sided coin team where they have great offense, and then, as we saw, their pitching is total hot, steaming, stinking garbage.
Clip that, Zanadali, real quick.
So, like, facts. So I think the real test is going to come against, you know, the Blue Jays in this four-game set where we're going to see Cole again. And we're going to really see what he can do against this lineup. And we're going to see Taillon, and we're going to get a great gauge on what this season is going to really look like. Because the Blue Jays are one of the best, if not the best teams
in
the
AL. This is going to be an exciting four-game series. Yeah, for sure. Manoah against Taillon.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of bricked up just thinking about Manoah because he... He has the potential to win the Cy Young, and I kind of regret not taking him in fantasy, to be honest with you. And his slider, absolutely filthy. But that's a side note. I really think the vibe for this team is completely different. Like, I, like, felt something watching these three games that I don't think I felt since, like, 2017
watching
the Yankees.
Man. I know. It's so exciting.
And I don't know. I don't think it's because I'm just excited for baseball.
No,
in general,
this is different. But no, it's different.
Like, I don't know. I just saw, like, Judge. I just had an image where it was, like, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton all talking, and they're all, and Donaldson, and they're all, like, locked in. Like, they're all, like, and they're all, like, having conversations. And I really actually feel like Donaldson might have been the right move for just, like, the mentality of the team. And I hate saying that now. I hate saying that now because I shit on it when it first happened. But, like, I guess, like, My immediate reaction was in terms of money. Like, why are the Yankees paying him $50 million for this shit? You know? Like, and that's, I feel like as a fan, that's a totally reasonable response to that. Because you don't think of, like, oh, he's a clubhouse guy, and you can't really put a price on that, you know? But I really like the vibe of this team right now. And I think Rizzo is also, like, not only is he playing well, but I don't know. You can, like, see, like, his interactions with
him
other
going
guys.
To the mound to calm down Judge Marinaccio there. That's huge.
Exactly.
And I think
exactly.
That's why they brought him back.
Yeah, and
one of the reasons why.
And I also saw a thing of Judge hyping up Glaber too in Game 3, and I was like, wow, that's really something, you know. And again, my guy, DJ LeMahieu with a huge home run, and you can see all the emotion he was having, because as much as he's, like, a quiet guy and he doesn't, like, say a bunch, like, and he doesn't show a bunch, that, you can see, like, that meant a lot to him.
That was the most emotion I've seen out of him since that Houston Game 6 game-tying home run. Like, I've never seen that out of DJ before.
Exactly.
That was insane.
So, you know, that kind of shows me that, like, people trashing on him might have really got to him. Like, even though he doesn't show it, he might have been like, I need to prove myself again.
Yeah, and to the team too. Like, I should be in the lineup. Like, he's speaking up with his play.
Yeah, which is like, there's nothing more you can ask for as a fan than a player like trying so hard to succeed and they actually succeeding. Like, you cannot not root for them. Like, if Aaron Hicks goes out there and goes 4-for-5 and gets RBIs in clutch situations, I look like a fucking dumbass, and I will start rooting for Aaron Hicks. Like, I mean, yeah, I was so happy for DJ, and I was so happy for Seve. Glaber, I was pretty happy for, too. Like, it's just like, man, like, this team really, really seems like they're going to have a great year. And I hope that we're not looking back in 2 months saying, oh, how dumb we were for thinking that. Like, I really hope they stick with this mentality.
And it's like, starts with Boone too. Like, Boone really going out there and starting his starters, pitching his bullpen guys. We talked about this earlier, but I think it starts with that mentality changing in the front office and even Boone himself. That's like trickle down effect. I think it's going down to Judge, Rizzo. We got the veteran guys. And even Gallo, like, I think he's going to turn it around soon. And when he hits one of these hot streaks, these Yankee fans are going to look like fools, because this is the player he is. Like, this is nothing new to Gallo. Like, he struggles mightily. Like, he looks like he can't hit a baseball. And then he goes on a hot streak, and he's where he is. So,
But the thing is, watching him in Texas, I don't think he was as giddy and upset about his performance when he was doing bad in Texas than it is here. Because everything in New York is amplified,
right? He needs the monkey
off
his back. He needs, like, that one game.
It's like, it's exactly like me. Like, I need one hit to drop this semester, and then I'm going to go off. Like, I've literally lined out to the outfield, like, three to four times the last two series. I can't buy a hit. Get me one hit, I'm going off. I just need one to
fall. You looking giddy out there? You know? Or, like, how would people describe you out there?
I mean, to be honest, my first at bat, I swung at a fastball so early because I was so geared up for it. And, like, it's the same thing with Gallo. Like, he's trying so hard, putting so much pressure on himself that he's not just playing within himself and just doing what he's able to do.
So, yeah,
and
Isaac's Gallo.
I'm a little worried about him. Yeah, except for I have a slightly more power, a little better arm,
average.
At different positions we play, better average. Slightly, I'm batting like 180 or something, so not really. But
I mean, he's at 100, so you guys are. That could be something to watch this season. Gallo and Isaac stats comparison.
Yeah. But we're not going to talk about home runs.
No.
I'm not a home run hitter.
Yeah, different type of hitter.
Facts. But I'm a little worried about him just because how amplified everything is in New York, and you can, like, does not hold back his emotions. After every at bat, he's like, Like that after every at bat.
Same with Hicks.
And
he
like,
was
kind of like
showing
worries
his frustrations.
And like that kind of worries me because that can consume you, especially in New York. Like, you didn't really see him doing that in Texas, you know? So I'm a little worried about Gallo.
Okay. I'm a little less worried about Gallo. I think he'll be fine. He just needs that monkey off his back with one big game. Kind of, I tried to spark that yesterday with the game player of the game pick. Didn't really reach him. Maybe one of these games against Toronto. Let's look ahead to Toronto. I mean, Manoah against Tyone tonight. We got Nestor against Ryu tomorrow. Let's see if I remember the rest. Cole against Barrios on the next third game of the series. And then Seve against...
Gausman.
There it is. Yeah. So, great pitching matchups every day. I think I'm kind of interested in the Ryu against Cortez. Like, that's... Cortez is kind of looking up to Ryu, you know? Like, that's kind of the pitcher he wants to be. So...
Same pitcher.
Yeah. And then Barrios and Cole. Like, that's, like, two guys who throw high 90s, six slider. And tonight's game, Tyone against...
Barrios is, like, 95.
Yeah. A little slower than Cole, but, you know, same type. Power pitcher, strikeout pitcher. Tyone against Manoah is kind of nice tonight. Kind of worried about Manoah's slider, but I guess I'm going to go with a lefty for player of the game pick, I guess. But what are you looking forward to in the series? Like, people are saying, like, this four-game series, it means the same as it is if it's playing in September. So we kind of got to go out there and show what we got, big brother them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, this is going to be the real test. I honestly have my expectations are a little higher now after watching that first series. But I mean, I've been watching the videos of the Blue Jays the last couple days. I mean, Bichette, Springer, Chapman, Vladdy, they're all crushing right
Vladdy
now.
Vladdy hit, what was that, 470 like, something yesterday?
467. And Bo hit one like 450 yeah. too.
And Springer's, I mean, still there, like, yes.
And like I talked about in the AL season preview, AL East season preview.
Go check that out if you haven't.
Go check that out. Chapman's kind of going off already, which is like very concerning on top of all the other guys that they got. If he's also, you know, resurgence. One thing I'm looking for is for Gallo to have a breakout series. Aaron Hicks, and I'm looking at Glaber too to see how he follows up on that performance, because he had one very nice hit, you know, one sack fly, but like I want to see him get like a couple hits, like get his confidence up, you know. Oh, and same thing with Gallo.
Yeah, do you see Glaber's defense? Also, that one looking, play up the middle, that was nice.
Yeah, that looked good. I mean, he's obviously more comfortable at second, and it's a shame that the Yankees put him in a position to not succeed at shortstop. They've kind of ruined with him. They kind of messed with him mentally there.
Kind of with Sanchez, the same thing with Sanchez. But
I'm also looking for some better pitching performances from starters. The starters in all three games were mediocre. Cole, I would even go as far to say he was bad in the first inning. That did ruin his start, to be honest. So I'm looking at Tyone to set the bar for a good four innings pitched. No runs, one or two runs, you know, something like that. Like, we need a little, like, okay, Yankee starting pitching is going to be similar to last year. So that's really my keys to this series is our starting pitching, because I think our offense will produce and our bullpen will produce. But I want to see some really good starting pitching.
Yeah, I'll add IKF's defense to something to look out for this series. Yeah, as you said, Gallo, Torres, Hicks, those good picks. I think also my prediction, I guess, one prediction for the series is I feel like Nestor Cortez is going to be the first guy to go like six innings and one or two runs. Like Tyone, I feel like he'll be fine, but he'll throw like three, four, or five innings. But I feel like Nestor can really give us length for some reason. He was one guy who was being stretched out heavily in spring training, so... Hopefully he can give us six, give it to Cole again, and Cole can go five, six, seven. So first time through the rotation, yeah. I feel like we got to give him a longer leash.
It's
going
to be 3 to 4 innings. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's basically it. Player of the game picks will be out later. What else? Should we go random question of the day, or should we?
I'm down for a question.
Okay, you have to give up one of these actions for the rest of your life, okay?
Okay.
You're either giving up brushing your teeth for the rest of your life or wiping your ass for the rest.
Okay, easy answer. Brushing teeth. Because first off, not wiping after you go to the bathroom is obviously nasty and gross. But there's alternatives for brushing your teeth. Like there's gum that you can get that cleans your teeth. and you could still floss, so you could get the stuff in between your teeth, and then you could have gum and mouthwash to substitute for brushing your teeth.
What about like bidets? So guys, like, there's substitutes for wiping ass too.
Like what? Showering every time after you go to the bathroom?
Bidets, those like fucking ass washers. Just install one of those.
Okay, but that's cheating. That's cheating. You can't do that.
Okay, then isn't flossing cheating too?
You didn't specify that in
too?
The question. Well, no, but I feel like wiping your ass like comes in hand with using the bidet.
No,
I guess the mouthwash does.
Yeah,
too,
mouthwash
though.
Is kind of all right. No alternatives. No alternatives. You just can't. Which one are you taking?
I would say brush my
okay.
teeth.
Okay, so Isaac's an ass wiper.
You can eat food. You can eat like mint. You can eat like mint.
You're looking for alternatives, Mike, right? Okay, fine.
Fuck. Well, that's why it's question of the day. I mean, that's
the
real
answer.
Isaac's
an ass wiper. Okay.
Well, what would you pick?
I'm the same boat as you. I thought about this when I thought about it, and I'm definitely wiping my ass. Like, there's just no way I can put on underwear or pants after knowing that I just shat. And, like,
totally
come
agree.
On, that's...
Totally agree.
Brushing teeth, like, you can get away.
I mean, maybe you could wear like a diaper. Actually, no, that's never. All right. Okay. Thanks, guys, for listening.
All righty, guys.
Thanks, guys, for
listening.
Thank
you guys for listening. Go Yankees.
Go Yankees. Big C.
Wait, but. All right. Maybe you could wear a diaper because then that would catch the remains. And then wear.
And then you could just shower at
yeah,
the end
that,
of the day.
Yeah, that kind of works. And
but I'm still gonna go. With the
and another
the
thing,
one.
Brushing teeth. Like if you don't brush your teeth, it kind of like affects the people around you, and like it's kind of gross for everyone else. If you don't wipe your ass, like that, you're only it only affects yourself. You know, like it doesn't really.
You don't think it would smell?
I mean, if you have a diaper,
imagine like a week. Imagine just like 2 days of not wiping your ass. That's
you shower.
That would be terrible.
Shower diaper. That.
What would you rather give up? Showering or brushing your teeth?
Oh, I'm giving up brushing my teeth. I need a shower.
Me too. Yeah.
I'm a big shower guy. I'm a big ass wiper.
Huge
Come
shower
on.
Guy.
That's ridiculous. All right.
I think that's time to end here,
yep,
guys.
Go Yanks.
If you're still listening, you're insane.
You're the real one. We might actually have to give you a t-shirt if you're still listening. Yeah,
free
comment
t-shirt.
Down below. If you listen this far, comment down below. We're giving everyone a t-shirt who listens this far. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Peace.